Hello, and welcome to Mondays on Tuesdays podcast. I am your host, Firecrow Silver Knight. We're going to talk about Compare Basic for a bit. At the five-minute mark when the music plays, something more interesting will come. Today's topic is the idea of the separation of concerns. Somewhat of a technical thing, but it has a lot of applications in everyday life. What I like about this is I'm hoping to feature what it is that software engineers do, kind of how we model the world. How is it that humans have made these pattern of pattern machines? And how do these patterns encapsulate so much magic, so much mystery, and so much frustration? You can hear in the music below me a kind of wispy, uncomfortable, glitchy thing. That is because the only copy of this music I have is on a CD from the late 90s that is scratched. It was something I made on my home studio as a teenager. And kind of a shout out to what 2D barcodes have become over time. You can lay a wire across them, still read the data. That ability is called Reed-Solomon error correction codes. And what it basically means is they add extra data that can be used somehow mathematically. I'm not actually sure how. But this extra data somehow can repair missing pieces through some formulaic application. Had that existed at the time in the 90s of CDs, I would have clean audio, even though the CD was scratched. Possibly. Possibly. And that's an idea of how far technology has come. We think of technology in terms of infinite scroll, extractive social media, video calls on our phone. I mean, all this data pipeline, fancy wireless stuff. And there's another world of engineering that's also happening, which is very practical, purely mathematic. The two-dimensional barcodes, QR code, though that is trademarked Aztec code, which I hear it's the one in the center, looks kind of like an Aztec pyramid. I hear it's used widely in Europe for transportation badges. And then there is Data Matrix, which is the only one I have found that is free of patent issues to the best of my research. The update from Compare Basic and the inspiration of the topic of separation of concerns is because I like to call weeks like the week I have had a burnout week. And I've been on a number of long projects, some of them involving long hours, and I find that I can go and go and go, and at a certain point, I can go no more. So what I had to realize this week is that it's time to take it a bit slow for a bit to regain my focus and be at my best. And that is very hard when you are behind, but sometimes you need that reset. And something that also happened, I knew that my backup situation, I have backup hard drives and thumb drives and things like that, was not entirely stable. I go between operating systems. My recent development is FreeBSD. My previous development was Linux. And the encryption methods for keeping encrypted external drives are not very compatible. So I knew that if I didn't have a migration strategy, I was likely to lose things. And I know myself well enough that, in fact, as I did this migration, I did lose things. I forgot a place where a key was stored, and that was the end of that. I didn't lose very much, though those sound a bit like famous last words. You never know what you've lost until you have. But it looks like everything I need is in order. And as Compare Basic becomes more serious, we have more important things to track. It looks like the backup system is in good shape. And The build system is unbelievably amazing. I now have optional tests building for different modules, and I'm really excited to put this thing in front of engineers. I spent a lot of time on safety of the path names to make sure it doesn't place files anywhere than it's absolutely supposed to. And it swaps out NASL, which is the Daniel G. Bernstein and Friends cryptographic library used by Libsodium and OpenSSL interchangeably. I really wanted the first time someone built this system to be a smooth one, and so the optionality and organization is everything that I'm about at Compare Basic. More after the music starts. Separation of concerns can be thought as somewhat of a selfish declaration where someone's like, mine, not yours. You know, separation's not a friendly word, but neither is concern, to be honest. And what's interesting is that all software engineers know this because we have known things that are too smashed together to be workable. And I think all humans, you know, all walks of life have scenarios like this. Like, you know, if you don't have enough rooms in your house and people are, you know, one person has the TV on and the other person wants quiet, or, you know, you're trying to cook at the same time in the same kitchen, or you don't have enough bathrooms, you know, so separation of concerns is kind of a way of saying space for enough stuff. In the programming world, it has a lot to do with motion. It has to do with if this thing changes, it shouldn't require that thing to change as well. And so it's really about thinking about things in structured categories so that you can get the most out of the pattern of pattern machines that you're building. And user experience and interfaces have a lot to do with this, even though it's hard to understand how that maps to the programming concept of separation of concerns. I've been at a number of software companies where the front end team, which is the team that makes things visual, they're usually developers that work with the designers. They do things mostly in the browser. They're somewhat frowned upon by the senior leadership, and the senior engineers kind of like, oh, what are the kids doing over there? You know, they're so messy. They have such a problem being organized. There's a secret to this reality, which is that oftentimes junior engineers do start off on the front end, and oftentimes people who are more into the experience of programming rather than the hard science of programming do end up on the front end. There's an interesting secret to this, though, which is, if you're a backend developer or a systems engineer, or you remember writing code a very long time ago, you generally had control of the order of things. So request comes from the server, or request comes from the browser to the server, and you kind of have, well, before the age of microservices, you kind of have your choice of, I do this, and then I do this, and then I do this, and I do this, and then I, and then the result is sent back. And as a front end engineer, you are, as they say in the restaurant and retail world, dealing with the public. That's a term for the idea that people can request anything of you and you must respond. And front-end engineers actually face more of that because they're providing an interface that has far fewer bounds and limits on it. And so separating the concerns is much more of a challenge. Making sure there's enough room for things, making sure there are no holes in the response of things is much more challenging because, let's face it, the user could click anything in any order. They could, you know, do all kinds of things. And so there's a complexity to this level of interactivity that really ought to be appreciated. And I was talking to someone today about the strategy of, you know, how I talk about what I'm doing and things like that. And one of the things that came up is that I am somewhat unique in that I'm way down to the ones and zeros, having been formally trained as a front-end engineer. And there aren't a lot of front-end engineers that have gone down that far into the mechanics of how a language is constructed, how a runtime processes network queues, how memory managers work and how memory is allocated, and how a garbage collector would go about, you know, cleaning up the messes that are made. And so my audience of talking to people is somewhat of a challenge. And then furthermore, the things I'm designing in the ones and zeros are designed with interactivity in mind, meaning a lot of the people that do end up way down in the system are, there's a lot of people who understand how the whole system works. But generally, if you work with ones and zeros and a lot of C code, you're an embedded engineer writing things from automotive aviation to microwaves, you know, charging gadgets. And so the likelihood that you have a large volume of dispersed interactive demands is minimal. And so I have a challenge explaining why I've made the decisions to that audience as well. And I find myself somewhere in the middle of the sort of like everything person. There's a phrase I love and loathe at times. I'm the middle child of a few siblings. And the phrase is, he who walks down the middle of the road gets hit from both sides. And this seems true to me, that when you sort of are in the middle of two things, you have fantastic opportunity to bridge them both, but it's also a ripe situation for misunderstanding. And what I would like to say is that my project right now it's a massive project. I haven't really reached out to people as much as I should. I'm not like, you know, standing on a hill screaming about something I'm proud of. I'm kind of like halfway up the hill waving my hand and people are like, yeah, okay, you're partway there. But I would say this, of the challenges I have, one of the main challenges is feedback. I realize that I see the world somewhat strangely, and I would love to hear from anyone who has an interest in high quality software, even if that's you feel like things are confusing. I'm not a fan of cluttered. I'm a fan of clean, yet unrestricted, if that makes sense. Kind of like clean but uncompromising. And for me, this is most reflected in audio applications and 3D graphics, where they lay things out in a way that's logical to how you work. But as you expand the tooling, you have amazing potential to express your useful patterns and model the world the way that you really need it to work for you. I think this is an interesting contrast from the sort of extractive media technologies that show a million pop-ups, or the video players that I log into because I'm watching a show I'd like to continue and I have to scroll down and hunt around for the continue watching section because they just can't resist showing me all the ads for the new fancy stuff they've done. And so I want that inversion of the company first to the customer first. I want the inversion of interruption to configuration. And the reason this comes down to the separation of concerns is the idea of at what point is it okay to set a limit, and how is that done respectfully? I have a lot of examples in my life and observing people where someone will politely yet narcissistically really dig into someone, tell them what to do with their life, what to think. And if that person says, back off, it's not entirely clear where the blame lies. I believe the person saying back off, if it really is their territory, is completely justified. But I've seen a lot of situations, and I've been in a lot of situations, where that ability to say no is considered the aggressor, even though the boundaries have been so greatly eroded. And I think that this is a really interesting thing for the software industry right now. Because what I notice happening is that people at times feel like they are too dumb to figure out technology, or something doesn't work and it's their fault. And I feel somewhat the opposite. It's kind of like, when you explain something to someone, you learn the most about it. Is it fair to blame the student or the teacher? Well, it's kind of a toss-up depending on the situation, but generally it's the teacher. It's the company's responsibility to make the things work and make people feel empowered and make people feel strong. And I don't think that happens from the maddening amount of pop-ups we have and the sort of prescriptive, ideal behavior applications. And I wonder at times how many people could be incredibly effective with technology if it was able to meet them where they are. So with that somewhat strange rant of where things could be, I just want to share that I'm struggling with the number of times I've been told not to start over, because I truly believe that there is nothing in this world that doesn't need a refresher. We're not going to be here forever. We will eventually rot and be put in the ground. And, we cleanse our bodies hopefully once a day. We clean the dishes we eat with. Some buildings last for a very long time, but there's generally not a sense of infinity to anything that we do. And I've observed that the numbers of layers in software are causing a challenge that people can't really see. And when I look at the unemployment in the industry, it doesn't seem unrelated to the challenge of the tooling. I feel like my concept is so simple. It's better tooling, higher quality products, functional team, lots of functional teams, lots of employment. I hear a lot of people with a lot of requests about what software could do. I know a lot of people out of work. Let's connect the dots. And I feel like at times when I present this, it's just it's too plain and too big and hiding too much in plain sight. But what happens when something really, like, really rocks, really functions well, it's kind of like really good music. You can't really describe it. You just kind of have to see it and feel it. And I wonder if high quality software, you know, has gone the way of the dinosaur in so many ways that people don't even really know what it is. So if you, like me, believe in quality and believe that a back to basics approach can work, join me at comparebasic.com in my fight against people who say things to me like, you're one person, you can't do that, or don't start over, you need to do something useful. Because I really do believe there is a summer for this winter that we are in the tech industry. And even though, you know, things are crazy, I'm getting carried away with the code because so many modules are coming online when I really should be, you know, doing other things, fundraising, networking, some of the administrative tasks of the business. There's a lot to be said for how much software engineers have learned how to model the world. And I don't see that going out of fashion. I think we're just at a moment in time where things are changing gears. That's all I have for today. As you can probably hear in my voice, it's burnout week and I'm exhausted. Have a great Christmas, or however you celebrate the holidays, and I will see you next week.